Well, hello, and welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's so great to see all these beautiful faces. Always makes me happy. The Peace Alliance is an organization. We empower civic action toward a culture of peace. That is our mission. And doing these calls has really been wonderful to pull people in to discuss the emerging stories we all have at this given time. My name is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance. And facilitating with me is Liz Gannon Graydon, who is also on the board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools Council Lead. And today we have a special guest, Matthew Albrecht, who is also on the board of the Peace Alliance. And he's had a long, beautiful history with the organization. Matthew, if you could unmute yourself, and we're going to get started. Are you?
I'm unmuted.
You
Hi.
are.
Hi.
You're
Hi.
audible. Well, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad. We're so excited to have you here today. You have the longest history of anybody with the Peace Alliance. You're one of the original founders, were you not?
Yeah, I was there at the beginning.
Yeah, and held different positions over the years. You were executive director at one point, managing director, and
Right.
now you're a board member only because you've branched off into so many other things, including writing a book. Including writing
Yeah.
articles. You just told me this morning you have an article that's being published on CNN.com. Wow, that's huge.
It's big. It's exciting. I mean, it's
What's
sort of
your.
exciting. It's about the California fires and kind of my emotional, personal experience with just this year after year climate crisis, ground zero experience. So, yeah, I think in the next few days.
Yeah, that's it's a heavy topic, but your personal experience is really what makes it so valuable for CNN, I would imagine.
Yeah, speaking of stories, it's an important story that we tell that this is the climate crisis is real and it's impacting us right now.
Exactly, in big ways. And tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, it's called Nourish Yourself Whole. I think I'll weave it into the story at the end because it's a part of kind of what I was going to
Okay,
share of
sure. No, that
why
makes
I write
perfect
that.
sense. Okay,
Yeah, it's
cool.
a
Well,
natural, kind of a natural outgrowth of my Peace Alliance work.
wonderful. Well, we'll look forward to diving into that together. But we're so happy to have you here. And I'm just going to take a moment and ask Yelena to lead us in a meditation so we can all get grounded before you tell your story, Matthew.
Thank you, Terry. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. So let's take a moment to warmly welcome ourselves to this moment. What does that warm welcome look or feel like for you? Perhaps a warm welcome for you is settling your body, anchoring your attention to the contact your body makes with the ground or the surface you're sitting on, feeling its solidity and allowing gravity to support you. And perhaps a warm welcome for you, it's in noticing your breath and maybe greeting each in-breath and out-breath with curiosity, gentleness. And care. Or perhaps a warm welcome for you to this moment is listening, perhaps to the sounds that are around you. Including the sound of silence. and the sound of your own heartbeat. There are so many ways for us to arrive at this moment and practice peace. Grounding in the body, noticing our breathing, or listening to silence. However, you warmly welcome yourself. Allow this moment to open you. Allow this moment to uncover the natural awareness of your mind and support you in creating spaciousness and manifesting peace within and around you. Thank you for warmly welcoming yourself to this moment. I warmly welcome you, Matthew. Thank you for being here.
Is that my cue? Do I start now? Okay. Well, thanks for hosting. And this, I've been listening to these mostly on podcasts, and it's beautiful hearing these conversations every week. So thank you guys for pulling it together. So we talked, and I think what I will share today is just kind of some of my personal story, and in particular, how it weaves into the mission and work I've been doing these past almost 20 years now with the Peace Alliance, or another iteration before the Peace Alliance and the Department of Peace campaign. And just talk about some of the many layers of healing that I've been through as I've done all this and throughout my whole life. So I'll start just very briefly with where I came from. I came from Texas. I lived up in northern Texas in a very, very small sort of town called Bushland, Texas, outside of Amarillo. Grew up on a farm. It was about 2 miles from the nearest neighbor. My entire school, K through ninth grade, had 300 people in it. So it's just a very small community, very, very conservative, very religious in a very specific way, and had a big family, lots of siblings and cousins and aunts and uncles, and very close, loving, loved them all, but also very conservative. And I was a young gay boy, took me a while to figure that out. So that the experience of being there and being so isolated and having this life experience of being gay was very ended up being very traumatic and challenging to kind of navigate through. And I didn't navigate it through very well when I was there. It took me leaving to start to unpack all that and deal in process. So I share that because that kind of early trauma, my therapist now calls it complex PTSD, that I've been kind of unpacking from just a lot of these experiences, not just that, other stuff too. Really kind of put me on the trajectory, this looking for and longing for healing within myself, a trajectory of what ended up becoming the work, my passion for and my desire to pursue things like the Peace Alliance and our mission. So I moved to California when I was 21 and started school, started studying psychology predominantly because I felt like, you know, I could learn a lot about myself and kind of start that healing journey. And that was the beginning, and started kind of the budding activism and my sort of passion for social change. And, you know, I think a lot of what happens to a lot of us when we, not all of us, but a lot of us, I think when we have some kind of oppression that we deep experience of that when we grow up is empathy can bubble up, and a lot more empathy for other people's experiences who, even those we don't have the same experience of, we know what it feels like, and kind of there's a lot more empathy there. And so I started really wanting to stand up and step out in what I was learning for the other folks around the planet who were suffering in all kinds of ways, and the planet itself. I started studying, I got excited about eco-psychology and really learning about the connection between the earth and how we're just being and dealing with our own psyches and selves. So that was a really important piece of my healing. I found a therapist then. And I also started to kind of discover spirituality. And funny enough, I had that was part of my trauma was religion, and didn't feel very connected to a higher power. But I had seen, I think, a 2020 or something, and Marianne Williamson was a guest speaker on it. And I was watching that interview and I thought, wow, what she's saying is really interesting. That's a different way of looking at faith and spirit. And I was having a really hard time. I was back home in Texas, seeing my family. And we were at a Target, and I remember vividly there was a book. It was the dollar bins. I don't know if you remember those old dollar bins where there'd be stacks of books for the books that were, you know, had been out for a while. And it was her book, and I had just seen her. So I grabbed the book, and I remember we were driving from Amarillo, the town, to our farm, which was about 20 minutes. And on the way there, I just opened it up and I read the introduction, and I felt this wave of relief wash over me of like, oh my gosh, maybe everything will be okay. Just from hearing this, these higher concepts that I'd never heard in a loving and compassionate way. And so that was this sort of thrust into sort of spirituality and that becoming an anchor for my experience and healing. And that was great too. So between these modalities when I was younger, I was learning a lot. And then my activism sort of kicked into gear. And to make a very long story shorter, I started getting involved because I was continuing to read Marianne Williamson, and she was doing a book called The Healing of America, Healing the Soul of America, which I read and loved. I mean, it was this perfect combination of spirituality and politics, which I loved both. So I got involved in some of the work we were doing and ended up moving to Detroit and working with her out there. And we were looking at what to do, and this bill had come up from Dennis Kucinich for a U.S. Department of Peace, and we just thought it was a perfect encapsulation of what our values were, like how do we bring these principles and sense of how do we be together more lovingly and more strategically in this bill that talked about all these various areas that I'm sure most of you are very familiar with. So we started a big campaign in support of that. And it was this really lovely experience of that blend of trying to take the deep engagement, the Gandhian, Dr. Kingian values of nonviolence and love, and infuse it into the political process. And so that was a really fun journey. And I'll say a little more about that in a second, but I also at the time, you know, I've been doing a lot of, I've done so much, well, I'll go back to that. Never mind. Sorry. with the Peace Alliance, what was great, so as the years progressed and various things happened and we expanded our scope and reach, we started doing a lot of research. And I in particular was doing a lot of the research around our peace building cornerstones, as we were calling them. And now we call it the Blueprint for Peace. And I learned so much about sort of systemic trauma. Like I was learning some about personal, you know, in my psychology work, although the field has really of PTSD and trauma has really developed over the last, you know, even 20 years, 30 years since I studied psychology. And so it was a really fascinating personally process for me to be researching all these cornerstones and learning about kind of all the systems of how trauma manifests and how it really impacts and can debilitate so many of our social systems, and learning what people were doing, the really innovative, forward-thinking, exciting, really healing-oriented approaches to dealing with conflict and violence. So it was this beautiful merging of something that I deeply needed, you know, still, it's a lifetime journey to heal, and learning all this stuff, and then also bringing it into this work that we do at the Peace Alliance. So that was really kind of lots of layers of profound, beautiful stuff. So we did that about 4 years ago. I decided I needed to pull away from the Peace Alliance. I'd been really sick. I have some autoimmune issues in my gut, and I really wanted to take some time, and I had the opportunity to take some time to heal. So one of the areas that I knew I needed to change was to change my diet. And so I got on this much, much, much healthier diet, and I started working with a doctor, a functional medicine doctor, which is this kind of modern naturopathic style doctor. It's a blend of kind of Eastern and Western medicine modalities. And within a few months of just changing my diet and a couple of tweaks on some supplements, I found out I was low in vitamin B12. And not only started feeling a lot better in a lot of ways, what I noticed was my mood shifted about as much in those 4 months as the previous 20 years of all the personal growth work I had done. And I'm not minimizing that, because that was critical for me to learn and build the foundation of healing. And I have a yoga practice that I've been cultivating over the last 20 years. You know, all the other stuff was so important. But I was really shocked that food had such an impact on my mood. I hadn't heard much about that. I now know the science is solidly behind that, but it's not something that's very mainstreamed. And even in the peace community, as we did all of this work for so long, you know, never came up. And I had a firsthand experience of feeling so much better in my brain and body just from shifting my diet. So that really, as I was pivoting out of the Peace Alliance, I got really excited and started really going on a deep dive around nutrition and not just what it does for your mood, but everything. And I was studying functional medicine coaching and got certified in a bunch of health coaching stuff and thought I wanted to do that, but activism has pulled me back in now, which is just too much going on in the world. But in the meantime, I was writing a book just sort of chronicling my own journey with it, and realizing that like the deep hard work I was doing was probably too much for other folks to take on with busy lives. So I kind of geared the book towards the most critical things that I was learning that I think give like the four biggest things would give the biggest bang for your buck kind of thing. But what was part of the draw for me, and it's fun even being on this conversation now, is I kept thinking in the back of my head, I really want to weave this in somehow with the Peace Lines, because we haven't talked a lot about this idea of nourishing yourself and how that, you know, we have on the sort of psychological level and the trauma level, but not on the sort of physical feed yourself level. So it's fun to share this, because I've really realized how much all of these things are interconnected, and the sort of the many layers of healing that are all going to be necessary for us to kind of heal as individuals on the planet. I think it's an important thing to mention, not only including, you know, the way we eat and what we eat, industrial agriculture and the impacts it has on global warming and the real crisis that we face with that, as, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of people could be displaced. And what's that going to do to conflict? It's going to make a lot of conflict and probably a lot of violence. And so I think our work is needed more than ever. And there's so many implications on so many fronts. But yeah, I think that's mostly what I wanted to share. I don't know if there's anything else that you guys wanted me to share from our conversation that I might have forgotten. But
no, I think you beautifully told that story and how you have really recovered in many ways and continue to heal.
Right.
That physically, but there's so many layers to it, right?
Yeah, it is. It just constantly uncovers.
Yeah. So, Yelena, I don't know if you want to try to weave that into an inquiry for the breakout rooms.
Thank you, Terry. Yeah. Just as we opened up in the meditation of so many ways to welcome ourselves into the moment, I feel what Matt, there are so many different layers we have leading to peace. And what's your next layer? The next thing you might be curious to deepen or take on to continue this growth toward peace. And perhaps as starting with the body leading the way, or perhaps is that spiritual awakening that is leading you to the body, or perhaps starting with the mind leading you to the body and spirit and heart. So what layers have you explored? And what layers do you want to advance peace in yourself, which connects to the peace in the world? So maybe that's an inquiry. And I know Terry is trying to catch that and type it in. So as we shift into breakout rooms for our discussion and integration of Matthew's stories with our stories, I just want to remind us of some of our norms. And those are say just enough. So when we are there, just kind of sharing our story with allowing others to share their story as well. Listening with heart, that is listening to fully hear what others are saying and speaking from heart, speaking from your own story and trusting that you will know what to say. There is no need to rehearse your story while others are sharing theirs. And respect and protect stories and heartfelt shares with confidentiality. And if you're not poised to share, we invite you to offer a gift of listening. So yeah, as you come in, just introduce yourself and share what are the layers have you explored to advance peace in yourself, which connects to the peace in the world? What do you want to deepen or take on to continue growth toward peace? And I think Terry will break us into groups. Thank you, Terry.
I will. Thank you, Yelena. I'm going to pause the recording and we'll start it up again as soon as we all come back together. Welcome back, everyone. It's good to see your faces. So, who would like to share what's alive for you right now? Yeah. Go ahead, unmute yourself. And Kate, you had your hand up.
Yes, thank you. I wasn't sure if Kendra had beat me to it or not, so I'll be quick. good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. Thank you again for creating this space and allowing us to share the space with you this week. It is always the highlight to my week, so I very much appreciate it. What was coming up for me, it's interesting because this is a question that I have been deeply mulling over significantly for the last couple of days, but probably also for the last couple of weeks, as I'm reflecting back on my work as an activist right now, and the fact that I am attending protests and that I'm showing up in these spaces, you know, consistently, and I have been consistently for the last 4 years. But I recognize that I have to invest in a new layer of my education and activism. And surprisingly, it's that I'm joining you here today because I'm realizing that I need to step up my peace education and I need to step up my peace activism because it's one of the things that I am seeing when I'm on the ground and I'm bearing witness to the protests that are happening. That I think that there's a powerful element and a powerful keystone that is not being represented as strongly as I think it could be mm-hmm. right now, which is heart-centered peace work on the streets and in these movements. And that is not to take anything away. That is not to take anything away from the movements that are happening or to take anything away from what the protesters are doing. I think that it's another element to add into the work that I think could have a much more profound and important reflection on our humanity. And I'm recognizing, because I am not part of those circles in Los Angeles right now, that it is incumbent upon me to seek out organizations. Anybody who has local organizations in Los Angeles that's doing this work, please drop those references in the chat. I'm open to connecting with them. But this is the next layer that I need to uncover to really be maximizing my energy and my voice right now is what was coming up for me today.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Ruben?
Yes, hello everybody. And I would like to just inform you guys that I'm from Liberia, West Africa. And the reason why I decided to get involved, because I was in an 11-year civil war in my country, Liberia. And before the war started, I was into music. And I tried to use music to prevent the war from happening. And because of that, I'm a born Episcopalian. I was born and grew up in the Episcopal Church. But the conflict was between Muslim, Christian, different groups. So I was trying to associate with a group that could bring everybody together because religion was playing a huge part in the conflict. So I went to the Church of Latter-day Saints. I think you know the Church of Mormon. I went and joined the Mormon Church. But then I realized that Muslims were not allowed in the Mormon Church. So the only religion that we identified with that we could deal with all religion was Baha'i. So just because of that, I went and became a Baha'i. You know, Baha'i. And bad luck for me, on the day we were having the first World Peace Festival in Africa, it was the day that the rebel attacked the city. And a lot of people got killed. I lost my first daughter. I lost my dad. I lost about 50% of my family. Yeah, so, and when the war started, luckily for me, we were in the bush, we survived. So when I came back to town, I founded a group called Sign of Peace Band. We were using music to promote peace. And we used that band, we used that music. Even there were some politicians that were mad with us. They said, why we're doing music, inviting rebel leader. But you see, you got to bring people together. I don't care how bad they are. The only way you can solve a problem is to bring people together. And one of the best ways to bring people together is through music. Music, entertainment, sport, you know what I'm saying? So these few days, I've been working. I came to the US. I've been helping people. I'm into fitness. I've been helping people with fitness and things. I work at Costco. But I realized that a lot of people is getting angry. Even some of my members, you know, everybody, you know, people getting angry with this group, the other person is getting angry. So I think it is time for people to use a process or construct a social force that will bring people together. So that's the reason why I decided to come and join with the group and get and share my view. Because I'm getting a little bit scary. Yeah.
Thank you.
As time goes back, I will give you guys more information. But I just gave you the reason why now I decided to come and identify myself with the group to give some information. But I strongly believe that through music, through entertainment, through sport, that can help to bring people together. Because what happens is that people don't know that when people are getting angry, it also affects their health. Mm-hmm. Most That's people get right. sick because they are angry. Because anger is toxic. Angerness is toxic in the body. That's why I tell a lot of my clients, I say, when I'm training you, you want to get healthy and fit, please try your best not to get angry. You know what I'm saying? Because angerness is more dangerous than even the bad food you eat. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Rupen.
Is there someone else who wants to share what came up for them in their group?
Kendra?
Yeah, it was after listening to the speaker, Matthew, that I had to look at your screen to remember your name. That's how far I've gone on the memory hole. But of all three of us, we all had an interest in writing and sharing in different ways. Itaf was working on a play. Kelly has written a book that she wants to share with the world. I just want to expand my audience for piece writing. And so many things have tied together, and listening to Ruben about anger and health, and Kelly was concerned about anger, about health. Anyway, just interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to share? We have time for one more. Okay, Anna.
David and I were in a breakout room with a man. I don't see him on here anymore. Do you, David? His name is Carlton. And he said he got on the call by accident. So I don't know, it was a happy accident for me. Because he was 79 years old and a musician, used to play saxophone. What did he say, David? He gave his saxophone away. He still plays keyboards. And so it reminded me that perhaps the next layer of extension for all of us is to do as you just did, Ruben, and invite people to share songs. I remember the old Coca-Cola theme song, I'd like to teach the world to sing. Maybe we need a theme song for the Peace Alliance and add that to the blueprint for peace. And thank you, Matthew, for all of your sharing. So keep on singing as we exercise and do dishes and brew tea the old-fashioned way and take our time. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Wise words. So we're going to begin to come to a close here. I'm just going to paste into the chat a few links, a link to the Peace Alliance, our website, also a link to the podcasts. These calls are podcasts, and the other calls that we have are podcasts. Also a link to the Blueprint for Peace. That's an action that you can take. Matthew mentioned it in his share. You can just click on that link and with one connection, reach all of your state and federal elected officials to encourage them to support policy related to our five cornerstones of peace building. And also a donation link last, because we are a nonprofit, we always welcome and appreciate any kind of donations you might be able to offer us. So with that, I'm going to hand it back to Liz to bring us to a close today with gratitude.
Hi, everybody. Matthew, I first want to say deep gratitude for your offering this morning. I'm one of those lucky people who have gotten to know you, you know, over many years, and I've watched you on this journey, and I'm always deeply moved, but in this moment, how well you're making all the connections. You know, every time I teach, I have a favorite quote. I'm just going to read you a snippet from a talk that Martin Luther King gave, right? And he says, it really boils down to this, that all of life is interrelated. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied into a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. We are made to live together because of the interrelated structure of reality. And what I was thinking about as I was processing, Matthew, everything you said and everything everyone else said, is what I've been thinking about. I like people's, you know, what you've come to study. The only class I ever dropped in school was physics. Because we had this beautiful physics teacher in high school who everyone knew, and you couldn't wait to get to him. And I got there the first day of senior year, and he had left over the summer. And I sat in the class, and there was this teacher, and I said, he doesn't know what he's doing, and there's another class I want to take. I'm going to take it. But I've been teaching myself kind of physics on my own. And my husband got me a starter book that I loved. It was literally called How the Hippies Saved Physics. And I said, when I try to get to the math or the science level of physics, it escapes me. But what I love, when it gets to kind of where physics meets metaphysics and that idea of the different nature of reality, that's kind of where I've been studying. And what's occurred to me as I was processing everything over the, when you guys were in your breakout rooms, is, you know, since the 1920s, we've had this idea that we live in a world that looks very different, right? It's a post, in the Newtonian kind of world, cause and effect. But once kind of Einstein and that movement of physics happens, there's the, we understand there's this different nature of reality that doesn't really play out in how we live our lives. We're, you know, some of us are still living this kind of linear reality. And Matthew, when you talked about kind of the interconnectedness of nutrition and healing self and healing the world, and the beauty of what you said, I want people to just go deeper into their practices and add more layers. I'm thinking that maybe that's really all we need to do in this moment, right? And I love that you talked about Carlton. My father-in-law was a saxophone player and a jazz musician. You know, and my husband comes from these five, you know, generations. My children are fifth generation of people who are artists. And I was thinking, yeah, I'm trying to put all the thoughts together. And I think the final kind of pull together I would is maybe the magic of music and art is in they engage us in kind of that nonlinear place. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe it's easier to shift us when we operate from that level. So I think what I'm going to do is, I have never tapped into that inner artist, musician, whatever, right? That's never a thing I added. And Anna, when you spoke, I thought, I'm surrounded by artists. I'm looking at Dee's beautiful artwork behind her, for those of you who know her. And I think maybe that's the layer I need to tap in. Maybe that's what I'm missing, to radiate, kind of connecting at that different level. So I want to thank my beautiful facilitators every week, Terry, for holding the space so beautifully, Yelena, for what you always bring to the table, Matthew, for your like really deeply moving, lovely, woven story, and for everyone who shows up. And I look forward to those of you who return to sharing with us kind of what the layers are that you're adding and how they deepen your work as you move out. So thank you guys very much for kind of letting me work that out with you, and wishing you all like a beautiful week as we kind of deepen our layers.
Yes, thank you, Liz.
And yeah, much love to you all.
One more thing I forgot to mention. You're not going to have a Hope Story Circle next Saturday.
Oh, right.
Due to the United States Labor Day weekend, but we will resume on Saturday, September 12th.
So thank you, Terry, for reminding me.
So thank you so much, everyone. Go ahead and unmute yourself and say goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.